I pray that I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not sure if any of you went to the cinema last year to see a film called Alone in Berlin. It's based on a novel written in 1947 by Hans Fallada called Every Man Dies Alone. And if I may, just briefly, I'll outline the story. It's 1940 in Berlin, and a working-class couple, Otto and Anna Quangel, receive news that their only son has been killed in action. At the same time, an elderly Jewish woman neighbor of theirs is suffering lawless behavior against her, which results in her throwing herself to her death from a window. And impelled by these events, the couple, Otto and Anna, start writing postcards to urge people to stand against Hitler and the Nazis, and they furtively place these little cards in public places, mainly apartment blocks where ordinary people come across them as they come home. And although their marriage at first appears to have dried up, being unable to console each other for the loss of their son, this shared risk and commitment to resistance, writing, delivering cards, brings them back to one another, in effect, falling in love with each other all over again. The police inspector, charged with finding the source of all these postcards, has professional pride, but he's no convinced Nazi. And over 3 years, trying to trace the culprits, he develops a sort of respect for whoever is doing this. One day, some of the cards accidentally fall out of Otto's pocket while he's at work, and he's arrested. He tries in vain to convince the police that it was only him writing the cards and not his wife, but they both end up in court, briefly managing to hold hands and tell each other that they know their fate and it doesn't matter. They know that the love so bereaved in their son's loss has done all that it could do, and that's enough. As Otto is led to his cell, the officer asks him if he can get him anything. A card and a pen, he replies. Otto and Anna are both executed. Back at the station, the police officer gathers up all these subversive postcards he's collected over the years, nearly 300 of them, and he throws them out of the window into the street for everyone to read before shooting himself. The cards swirl in the wind, and you feel Otto and Anna have a moral victory beyond the grave. At the end of the film, a tribute appears on the screen, dedicating the film to Otto and Elisa Hampel, the two real people in wartime Berlin on whom the story is based, and who left cards in stairwells and appointment blocks all over the city, and who, a stark reminder of the brutality of those days, were both beheaded for it. Otto and Elisa Hampel took simple messages into people's homes to subvert the powers of the day that were insisting on obedience and fear. In their simple way, they were seeking to undermine tyranny and to call people back to their humanity, to reacquaint themselves with their values and their willpower to stand against evil. Jesus Christ did the same. He took his vision of the kingdom of God into homes and human hearts in order to subvert the rules by which we so unthinkingly and ordinarily just live by. Lives which so often simmer us down, take away the dignity and the liberty of the people we're called to be. When the Hampels took their cards into those housing blocks, they, in their simple and brave way, we're reflecting something of this Christ who challenges the world's darker behaviors to reclaim a better path to peace. Today in the Gospel, we see this clearly at work in his teaching about pride. The great mythologist Joseph Campbell once said that most of us, through all our lives, are trying to climb up onto a roof to show the world who we are and that we got there. The trouble is, he said, that when we get there, we normally realize it was the wrong house and that we have to begin again, sometimes now more accountable to our ideals and values than just our interests. We tend to call this midlife crisis. But pride is something that Jesus was often talking about. He wouldn't let the subject go. And pride is easily recognizable. You can spot it in yourself. You can glimpse it in your suspiciousness and in your quick judgments on those you meet. You can spot it in your obstinacy, your acerbic put-downs, your speed to get angry, your inability to say sorry. Pride eventually tires us out because we see the world as a competition. Our soul shrinks, makes us feel we have little left, and that's what pride is working hard for. But there is another way, and Christ was teaching it and taking it into homes and into hearts, that if we want to be our true self, we have to learn to be less selfish. And when they asked him, well, who then is the greatest? He turned to a child and surprised them all. His message was clear, that God loves you, really, just as you are now. But God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay like that. And that there is another path in lives, in hearts, and it is the way of humility and peace.